And morning, today's daf in Avodah Zarah Yud Gimel. We are in the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis, Ir Sheish Ba Avodas Kochavim. We are now continuing in the Mishnayos regarding things you can and cannot do surrounding the Yom Eid, the pagan festivals that were observed by various nationalities. Mishnayos focus mostly on the Roman pagan holidays, but they're Babylonian pagan holidays and Persian pagan holidays. So the Mishnah, since the beginning of the Masechta, since the beginning of this parak, has described and discussed what kind of commercial activity is prohibited surrounding this time, on the day itself, and also 3 days prior. The reason why it's prohibited, as we already discussed earlier, but it's important to remember, just keep remembering, this is one of the basic points of the parak, is that one of two possibilities, one of two concerns that the Chachamim had. One is that Lifnei Iver, if I'm selling them an animal, and they're going to be using that animal towards the Avodah Zarah, so then I am clearly facilitating their Avodah Zarah. That's the Nisr in the Torah, Lifnei Iver. And on top of that, Gemara also has another concern, which is Azul Amodeh, that what happens is that if he has a windfall around that time of year, so he's feeling very religious, it's right around his holiday, so he's going to be Azul Amodeh, he's going to thank his God. And the Torah says, Lo Yishama Alpicha, that the names of Avodah Zarah should not either be mentioned by you, or you shouldn't cause other people to mention it as well. So those are two possible reasons why it would be prohibited. Our Mishnah over here is going to be discussing the following. Yishish ba'avodas kochavim, if I have a city that has a vodazar, v'hayu ba'av chanios mutars v'shena mutars. And so I have various markets over there. Some have holiday decorations and some do not have holiday decorations. Now, you think that the holiday decorations over here is a religious issue, and it is, for sure. Meaning the markets that have the storefronts that have holiday decorations, clearly they're more seasonal. They're clearly in the season. But over here it's a religious consideration. It's also a financial one as well. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, second Rashi on the Mishnah, Hayubo Chanios Mutaris, the storefronts that are decorated. V'simen hu lahem, Rashi writes, Sha'osim Chanios Shavos Kochavim Heim Lito Mehem Meches. In other words, what they're going to do is they're going to have a holiday surcharge. Holiday surcharge meaning that what you're going to do is you're going to buy product. Not only are you going to buy product, but whatever you're going to be buying over there, but you're going to also have they're going to charge you a surcharge, and that surcharge is going to go towards the communal Avodah Zarah. Okay, so when you're going into a store that has holiday decorations, so they're going to charge you a surcharge, and that's going to go towards idolatry. So you'll be funding. You know when you go into such a store that you're going to be funding Avodah Zarah. So, what's the halacha? So, the Mishnah says, this was an episode in Beit Sha'an. So, the Chachamim said that those stores that have the holiday decorations, so you can't buy from them, and the stores do not have holiday decorations, so you are allowed to buy from them. Okay. Now, it should bother you, meaning, fine, you understand the basic premise of the Mishnah, that when a store is basically advertising, they are clearly telling you that we are going to be taking a surcharge in order to be applied to Avodah Zarah, so you certainly understand that in and of itself is going to be problematic. But what is difficult to understand in the Mishnah is that even those holidays, even those stores that are not decorated and are not charging that surcharge, but still, ultimately, when all said and done, you're doing commercial activity with a pagan around his pagan festival. So how could that be okay? Rashi over here is bothered by that question. And Rashi, we go back to Rashi another time in the Mishnah. And Rashi writes as follows. She'en mutaris mutaris. If it doesn't have decorations, it would be permitted. Deba'osun she'en mutaris lo shakli mina u'mechsa la'avodas kochavim. The stores that do not have holiday decorations are not collecting a surcharge from you, a tax from you, for the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, no money is going towards the Avodah Zarah. Rashi here is asking the obvious question, but it's still Yom Eidam, it's a holiday, and you're not allowed to engage in business activity. Rashi says one possibility, the prohibition is, you're not allowed to sell to them. So what Rashi's doing over here is he's putting a significant qualification on the entire commercial transaction. Meaning that the only true commercial transaction, says Rashi, is the prohibition of selling it to them, because they then might take the animal and use it for Avodah Zarah. Also, Rashi points out that in generally in a transaction between buyer and seller, so who comes out happier from the transaction? So generally speaking, it's the buyer who walks away happy, the seller walks away less happy. Seller no longer has that commodity with him. But the
seller makes a profit. Yeah.
What? That's true.
That's why
personal
he's happy.
That's
the other way.
It's true. What?
It's personal profit.
Right. That's true. Right. But if you're buying something from them, devram is kaim. And Rashi over here qualifies that we're talking about durable goods. If you're buying from them something which is a durable good, so then it would be permissible. Because generally speaking, on the transaction, the seller is going to be unhappy and the buyer is going to be happy. Now, it's clear from Rashi, if it's a perishable, so that's something which the seller is going to be very happy. Because perishables, by their very nature, are not going to last. That's why it's called a perishable. And so the seller now is going to be happy when he sells his perishables. So that's that would be prohibited. But Rashi's overarching point over here is that, yes, on Yom Eidam, you're not allowed to do business with them. And 3 days before Yom Eidam, you're not allowed to do business with them. But now we're going to qualify, we're seriously qualifying what we said from the beginning of the Masechta, and that is that you're not allowed to sell something to them. But in terms of buying something from them, and more clearly, buying a durable good from them, so that would be okay, says Rashi, because you are... they're not going to use it for Avodah Zarah. Now, it's possible, yes, they could take the money that they just earned and use that for Avodah Zarah, but that's already two steps removed, and we'll talk more about that in tomorrow's daf. That's too far removed. And, says Rashi, generally speaking, the disposition of the seller is that he's going to be unhappy, especially if it's a durable good, and therefore, that would be okay. Ad kan devei Rashi, that's Rashi's explanation of the Mishnah.
He's going to be unhappy, he's selling.
Right.
Seller wants to sell, and he would
think
it's God that
okay.
He's
missing. Fine. It's right. I understand. You see what the problem that Rashi encountered. Meaning, the Mishnah is saying it's mutaros.
Right.
The first Mishnah told us you can't. Right. Right. The first Mishnah says you can't. So that's the problem that Rashi encounters. So Rashi's solution. I hear your issue. I certainly hear it. But that's how Rashi is navigating through these Mishnayos. Okay. Amr Shimon Malakish Loshanu Ela Mutaris Beverd Vahadas. Dekam Mitani Mirecha. Va Mutaris Beperis Mutaris. So Reish Lakish puts now a serious limitation on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when there are decorations, holiday decorations, you can't go in. So Reish Lakish says, you know why you can't go in? Because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be smelling these holiday decorations, and therefore you're going to be getting benefit from Avodah Zarah. So, see, it has to be things that are, that you smell. So, for example, Verid Hadas, roses and myrtle. So they smell wonderful. So there, because they smell so good, so you're going to go into the store, you're going to get hana from the Avodah Zarah, that's a problem. However, if what is the decorations for the store is going to be fruit, so fruit, yeah, it's okay, they smell okay. But in other words, they're not made for smell. And so therefore, it would be okay for you to go in, it would be okay for you to buy. Now, my time, Dama Kram. Lo Yidbak Biyarcham Umam Menacherim. So the Torah says that you are not allowed to literally cling to anything from the cherem. Cherem, in this context, means something which is banned, meaning Avodah Zarah. So in other words, what Reish Lakish is saying is that what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to get benefit from Avodah Zarah. So, Nenehu da'asra va'mahanashare. You're not allowed to benefit, but you're allowed to provide benefit for the Avodah Zarah. Meaning, let's think this through. What Reish Lakish now is telling us is the following. When we read the Mishnah, and we heard the episode in Beit She'an and the ruling of the Chachamim that in a decorated store it's mutter, in a decorated store it's aser, in a non decorated store it's mutter. So what did we think? So especially after I showed you Rashi, what we all thought was that the difference is whether they collect tax or they don't collect tax. In other words, if they're collecting a tax, an idolatrous tax, so they're going to take your tax money. Obviously, they're going to apply it to Avodah Zarah. You're funding Avodah Zarah. At that point in time, you would never have thought that there should be a difference in terms of what the decorations are. Whether they smell good, whether they don't smell good, what difference does it make? What Reish Lakish... I understand that, but in other words, but regardless of the smell, you're funding Avodah Zarah by going into that store and doing commercial activity with that store. What Reish Lakish is now teaching us as follows. It's his opinion. You'll see Rav Yochanan is going to disagree. But it's Reish Lakish's opinion that the only Isser as it relates to Avodah Zarah is you getting benefit from Avodah Zarah. But if what you're doing is you're being mehaneh, you're providing benefit for Avodah Zarah, according to Reish Lakish, that's no issue. And therefore, Reish Lakish says, now when I go back to the Mishnah, oh, if there's no issue with providing benefit for the Avodah Zarah, so why not pay the surcharge? Meaning but you're helping, you're aiding and abetting the Avodah Zarah, you're funding it, okay, you're funding it. The only Isser is Hana for you to get benefit. But there's no prohibition, according to Reish Lakish, for you to provide benefit for the Avodah Zarah. Now, that is difficult to understand, but when you think about it in terms of Hana'ah, meaning, well, generally speaking, when the Torah asers Hana'ah, what is the Torah asering when it comes to Isser Hana'ah? Generally speaking, the Torah's Isser is, I'm not allowed to get benefit. There's a Torah, when there's an Isser Hana'ah, is there generally an Isser for me to provide benefit for others? No. I mean, it's called a neder. But in other words, when generally we're talking about Isuri Hana'ah, we're talking about me getting benefit. And that's the prohibition. And Reish Lakish says it's no different when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Rav Yochanan, however, disagrees. Rav Yochanan amar afilu mutars beperos nami asar. Kavachomer nana asar mahana lo kol shekein. And Rav Yochanan disagrees with his brother-in-law. He says, no. The Isra of Avodah Zarah is nana and mahana. Both getting benefit and providing benefit for the Avodah Zarah. He uses a kavachomer. It's a really interesting kavachomer. Well, if nana is asar, if getting benefit is asar, so mahana for sure is going to be asar. Now, I say it's an interesting kavachomer because, again, I go back to the point I made just a moment ago. When dealing with generally suri hana'ah, we don't say that. Meaning we generally say, you're not allowed to get benefit, but there's no issue of providing benefit for others. Again, assuming that there's no isra hana'ah for another person. Over here, the kavachomer is, well, if I can't get benefit, I certainly can't provide benefit. It's an interesting kavachomer. Rav Yochanan feels it's glad. It's a good kavachomer. So the Gemara now is going to challenge because we seemingly have a Braisa going against us. Now, before we go to the Braisa, so what exactly is the mahane? What are you doing when providing benefits? So the simple pshat, which Rashi says, I would have said it as well, is no semeches. Meaning that when you go into a store and it's decorated, it's holiday decorations, it means you're going to be paying a surcharge. When you pay that surcharge, you are being mehaneh. That's a simple pshat. The Gemara, that's what Rashi says. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges with a brisa. Rabbi Nelson Omer, Yom she'avodes kochavim maneches bo'os ameches. Machrizim va'omrim. So the day in which the idolaters are going to be laying out a tax. And here's how it's going to work. So if you take this atar, you take this little crown, right? It was a crown, it was a wreath, and you wore it on your head and you put it on the head of your donkey. It seems that detail seems a little silly, but again, what do I know from idolatrous practices? So if you take the wreath and you put it on your head and you put it on your donkey's head, so yanich lo sameches, so you're going to get now you're going to get a pass on taxes. So you will be exempted from taxes. The imlav ayan ichlois ameches. So, but if you refuse to put the crown on your head on the head of your donkey, so you're not going to get tax relief. You're not going to get a tax exemption. You're going to have to pay the taxes. And so Yehudi shenimsa shama yase. And so here we are now in the classic catch-22. What do you do now if you're in such a place? So yaniach. So if you put the crown on your head, nimsa nana. So now, by doing so, you're going to be receiving benefit. And that benefit that you're receiving is going to be tax exemption. Like a simple pshat in the Gemara, that's what Rashi says. You are... sorry, I take it back. That is a simple pshat in the Gemara, but that's not what Rashi says. Nana says, Rashi, menarech shal asavim o shal besamim. Meaning the wreath smelled good. Right? The crown smelled good. Okay. You could have also said that it's a question of tax exemption as well as being the benefit, but that gets into an issue of, I know why Rashi didn't say that. In other words, right, correct. In other words, is saving money considered a benefit? Right, the age-old question of, look, it's a coupon, right? And which the answer is, yes, it's a coupon, but you don't have to buy it. We don't need it. So anyway, okay. So is that considered a hana? Is that considered a benefit? So anyway, so that's why Rashi says that the benefit is the smelling of the wreath. But in any event, you put the wreath on, you're gonna be benefiting. And lo yaniach nimsem mahaneh. But if you don't put the wreath on, then you're going to be paying the tax surcharge, the idolatrous tax surcharge, which means that you're going to be providing benefit for them. So mikan amru, so now that you're in this catch 22, what do you do? So really the best thing to do, of course, is nothing. Meaning, don't go out that day. Right, exactly. Right, wait a day, wait a week, however long you have to wait. But amru, and therefore they said, meaning the Chachamim said, and if you do commercial activity on that day, so you shouldn't have done it. And therefore, all the proceeds of that sale, everything that you bought has to be destroyed. If you bought an animal, take care, you uproot the animal. Details to follow. Peros, ksus v'kelim, if we're talking about fruit, clothing, utensils, yirkavu, so you let it rot. Maos v'kli matchos, if we're talking about metals, either money or just simple metals, yolichem liyam amelech. Destroy them by putting them into the Dead Sea, and let the Dead Sea corrode it, destroy it. The Ezu Ikor, now the Bryce over here talks about the uprooting of the animal. What do you do to the animal? Menashe prosesam menar kuva ulamata. You cut its tendon towards its leg, distal from the body. Anyway, what is coming out from this Bryce clearly is that Hana is Aser. And Mahana is Aser. This Braisa is a resounding support for Rav Yochanan that both activities, both getting benefit and providing benefit for Avodah Zarah, is going to be Aser. Ketani miyad yaniach nimsa nena lo yaniach nimsa mahana. And so now, if you are a Reish Lakish, you are familiar with this Braisa, what are you doing with this Braisa? Amr Mishar Shabarei de Rav Idi Kasav Reshima Malakish, Pligi Rabbanan Aleha de Rabbi Nasan Va'ana de Amri Karabbanan de Pligi Aleha. So the answer will be that if you look back at the beginning of the Braisa is not a Shitas Chachamim, it's not an anonymous position, it's Rabbi Nassan Omer, meaning, and you know how generally these things sound, when the Braisa opens up with a name of a Tana, and moreover, not only is it just the name of a Tana, but it's Rabbi Nassan Omer, right? Whenever you have a Machlokas throughout the Gemara, you have Machlokas Tanaim, Amarayim, the second opinion, the name of the Tana or the Amar is placed before the word Amar, as if to say he's arguing. And Reish Lakish will tell you, yeah, that's exactly what's going on over here. That there is a first opinion of the Braisa that argues with Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan is a Das Yachid, and assuming that there's a Shitas Chachamim arguing with Rabbi Nassan, I go with the Shita of the Chachamim. And what's Rabbi Yochanan going to say in countering that? Rabbi Yochanan, Savalo Pligi. And Rabbi Yochanan will just simply tell you that he does not believe that there is a Machlokas here. And the Braisa's position is a unanimous position. Now the Gemara says, now let's consider the following Braisa. To go to a fair of idolaters. So one is allowed to buy from them animals, avadim, shvachos, servants, houses, fields, vineyards, because of umala, and not only that, but in order to ratify and make sure that the contract is a valid contract, you can go to their court system, you can have it written up in their court systems, because it's like saving something from their hands. Meaning it's something where I have an opportunity to buy it, it will make for a significant purchase, it will put us in a better position if you buy these kinds of items. So therefore, you have a heter to go, even though it's a yerid, even though it is a fair, it's a pagan festival. Furthermore, v'imaya kohen, if you're a Kohen, metame b'chutz aretz, ladonu la'ari mahem. A Kohen who, generally speaking, is not allowed to be in chutz aretz. Okay. We learned just a couple days ago in the daf that 80 years before Chorban Bayis Sheni, so the Rechachamim made a gzera de Rabbanan tumas ha'amim, that the outside of Eretz Yisrael, the land is subject to tumah de Rabbanan. Therefore, Kohanim generally cannot go there. However, it's a gzera de Rabbanan, hey mamru ve hey mamru. They also provided dispensation. This dispensation is that in the event that you need to go into litigation and it requires you to go to Chutz Aretz, you do so. Just like a Kohen is given this dispensation to go out to the exile in order to do litigation, in order to save his property, also he's allowed to go into a cemetery as well. The Gemara immediately corrects itself. Beveis HaKvar Sakadacha, you really think that a Kohen can go into a Beis HaKvaros? That's an Issa Daraisa. Sakadacha Tuma Daraisa hi. So Ela Beis HaPras de Rabbanan. So the immediate correction is, no, we don't really mean a bona fide cemetery. We mean a Beis HaPras, a place, an area in which there was a grave there. By accident, someone plowed through the grave. Bits of the remains, of the human remains, are spread out now. And as Gzera Derabanan, a Kohen is not allowed to go into such a field. That's what's called the Beis HaPras. Again, that's Gzera Derabanan. And under certain circumstances, a dispensation was given to the Kohen. Additionally, another dispensation for Kohanim is that if they're going to be learning Torah, if they need to get married, they can go into Eretz Ha'amim. They can go outside of Eretz Yisrael. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Mislev Bezmanche and Motzil Lomod. Avav Bezmanche and Motzil Lomod and Matame. Rav Yehuda says that's only if there's nowhere in Israel to learn. But if you have places in Israel to learn, don't go to Chutz Laaretz. And Rav Yossi, I'm Rav Yehuda Bezmanche and Motzil Lomod, Yit Malafishe in Adam Zoche Lomod Mikol. To which Rabbi Yossi says, no, even if there are places to learn in Eretz Yisrael, you have to find a Rebbe that matches you. Not every Rebbe is going to be good for you. So you need to find a Rebbe that speaks to you. Then that would allow the Kohen to leave and go to Eretz Ha'amim, to Chutz Ha'aretz, even though there are places in which he can learn in Eretz Yisrael. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Maisa B'Yosef, a Kohen, Shehalach Acha Rabba L'Tzidon. Yosef HaKohen went with his Rebbe to Tzidon, Lomo Torah. So, and in the context of the story, I can say that Tzidon is in Chutz Aretz. Otherwise, what would be the point? V'am Rav Yochanan Halachik Rav Yossi. And Rav Yochanan points out the halachas like Rav Yossi. But what do we get from all this? So what we got from all this is that one is allowed to go to a Yerid, and one is allowed to buy. Meaning, what we learned together previously is that according to Rav Yochanan, so there is an Isser of Nana and Mahana, that one is not allowed to get benefit and one is not allowed to provide benefit for the Akum. Reish Lakish says, no, the Isser is only on the Nana, but there's no Isser of Mahana. The Gemara recorded the Brisa regarding Rabbi Nasan, and Reish Lakish theorized, he suggested, well, that's a machlokas. And Rav Yochanan says, no, there's no machlokas. But now the Gemara just quoted a Brisa, and this Brisa clearly gives an allowance, a clear allowance to go to a Yerid, some sort of pagan festival, some sort of pagan market, on their holiday, in order to buy these types of commodities. We'll speak in a little bit in terms of the significance of these particular commodities that one's allowed to buy. But clearly over here, this Brisa seems to indicate that you are allowed to buy. The Gemara is now assuming that over here there's some sort of surcharge when you're buying from them. That surcharge that's being placed on you is going to the idolatry, and yet the Brisa says it's okay. Amalecha Rav Yochanan la'olam lo pligi. Rav Yochanan says, no, I'm going to stick to my guns. There's no debate. You're not allowed to benefit, you're not allowed to provide benefit. The Brisa of Rabbi Nasan clearly sides like me. And as far as the Brisa we just quoted, that's different. Why is it different? V'lo kasha. When you're buying from an official license store, so they on the pagan festival where they're decorated, so they're going to be collecting a surcharge. Meaning they're an official store, it's a licensed store, they're going to be collecting a surcharge, and therefore you're being mahana, which is prohibited according to Rav Yochanan. As far as what we just learned together about buying these commodities, the animals, the avadim, the houses, the vineyards, etc., etc. There's not much more, etc. But when you're buying those commodities, so you're buying it from a balabais. In other words, a non-licensed store. And I don't want to go so far as to say it's, I don't think it's a black market. I don't think it's that insidious. I just, in other words, it's whatever. You're buying it from a guy, from a balabas. He's not charging a surcharge, and therefore it would be okay. Now again, you can ask me the question. I'm going to give you the same Rashi answer. You can ask me the question. I don't understand. It's a Yom Eid. It's a pagan festival. How could you be buying anything from them? So we'll go back to the Rashi that we saw in the beginning of this year today, where that the Yisr is to sell them item or to buy perishables from them, but to buy durable goods from them. So that generally makes them sad, and therefore it would be okay. All right, Adkan. All right, so that takes us to the end of the first sugya of today's daf. What have we seen together? This basic machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We know that there's an isser hana on avodah zara. Is the Isser to be Nana? Everyone agrees. Yes, there's an Isser to be Nana. One is not allowed to benefit from Avodah Zarah. Is there an Isser to be Mahana, to provide benefit? So Reish Lakish says no. And Rav Yochanan says yes. There is an Isser to be Mahana as well. And therefore, if on the pagan holiday when you're buying something and they're charging a surcharge and that surcharge is being applied to idolatry, so that you're not allowed to do because you're being mana, and according to Rav Yochanan, that would seem to be an Isser as well. The Isser is based on a Kav HaChomer. We know a Kav HaChomers operate even on a Din D'Oraisa. They operate on D'Oraisa level. It's one of the Yugim Omidos, Sha'atar and Adrash Esmahem. So seemingly, if you ask Rav Yochanan, is this an Isser D'Oraisa? So presumably his answer would be yes.
Right.
I hear you. And then yesterday we talked about that. That was the daf yesterday. Okay.
Make a note when I ask you about the seller wants to sell. It's not talking about he's selling his merchandise. He's selling things that
his own private assets. Okay. Amar behemate akiva ikatzar balechayim. Now we are one of the penalties that we're imposing on a person who went to the pagan festival and purchased an item on that day, paying the surcharge. So basically the Brisa said, don't do it. But if you did it, so then you can't get benefit from those proceeds from that sale, from the item that you bought. And if it's an animal, you have to be ma'akir, you have to uproot it, which means that you have to cut the tendon on its leg. The Gemara asked a question which we already dealt with, but Sar Balechayim, Amar Abai, Amar Chmana, Esusem Te'akir. So Abijah just simply quotes a pasuk at Susam Ta'akir, the horses you are ma'akir. In other words, you cut the legs off. In other words, under certain circumstances, when it's demanded, when it's necessary, so you do so. Huh? Yeah. I mean that's how I described it earlier. I think kenas is the right terminology. Amar Mar ve'ezu ikar menashe prasasem and arkuva lamato reminu. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, it is cutting it closer to the hoof, further away from the body, and so that you do not render the animal a trefa. Rashi already told us once earlier in this perek that one is not allowed to render an animal a trefa. Rashi doesn't cite a source for it, but Rashi said it just a couple days ago in the daf, and so that's how he explained why it is that you have to cut it in an area on its leg where it does not render the trefa. Tosus was bothered by that. Tosus asked that question a couple days ago as well. And Tosus' answer was that if you're doing it for a purpose, and this purpose over here is to follow the Kenas Chachamim, so then it would be okay. And the Tosus is on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, towards the bottom, second to last Tosus. Or Reminu, the Gemara asks another kasha based on another Braisa, and that's as follows. You're not allowed to dedicate anything to the Beis HaMikdash b'zman hazeh. And of course, the problem is that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So let's say I take an animal, I'm a makdash the animal, I sanctify the animal. So that's going to put us all in a big problem because the animal now has kedushas aguf and I have no Beis HaMikdash in order to bring it. So the starting point, of course, is don't do it. Yeah, it's a good starting point. In other words, so don't be makdash an animal. And cherem and erech are other forms of nedarim. Actually, we're an entire mesechta is going to be dedicated to the discussion of erechin, and cherem can go one of two directions. It can either go to Bedek HaBayis, it can go to the Kohanim. Here, let's say that it's going towards Bedek HaBayis, not to the Kohanim, but in any event. Okay, let's keep with the simple point. You're not allowed to be makdish an animal nowadays. V'im hikdish, v'hichrim v'harich. So, and what if you do? So, behema te'akar, peris tzus v'kelem yirkavu, ma'ozikli matchos yolichem li'am ha'melech. The Ezu Ikor. So, the Brisa basically says, so you have to destroy it. Meaning, you can't just let it sit around, you have to destroy it. And what is destruction as it relates to animals? So now, as we are on the very top of Yigim Amud Beis, so the Brisa says, Noah Dals Befanev, Vihi Mesa Me Allah. So basically, you withhold food from it, and it will die. And the question the Gemara is asking is a very simple question, straightforward question. We now have two circumstances in Halacha where I need to destroy the animal. Either because I purchased it as in a festival, in a pagan festival, and the proceeds of that sale went to idolatry. So therefore, as a kenas, I am to destroy the animal. And two is when I'm makdish an animal, and because we don't have a base of mikdash, you can't just let the animal hang around, so you have to destroy it. The question, very simple, is that there are two methods of destruction. Why are there two different methods of destruction? Why not have a consistent method of destruction? So the Gemara's answer is very simple. It's a pragmatic answer. I'm Rabbi Shani Hassam, Mishum Bizayun Kachim. I don't know if the pragmatic is the right way to describe it, but there's a difference. When it comes to Kachim, meaning that's the second topic that we discussed, so there's a question of Bizayun. It's disgrace. What exactly is a disgrace? So I again turn back to Rashi. Rashi writes, Yamar Te'akir Eino Mesa Mehera Nira Bizyon Lizman Meruba. It doesn't die right away. In other words, we're looking for a quicker death. We're looking for a quicker death. So you know what the next question, of the Gemara is going to be. V'nishchete. Okay, so you want a quick death, so why withhold food from it? Just shecht it. So the Gemara says, Mishchet asu behuli de takala. Okay, so the obvious answer is that once we shecht it, which obviously is the quickest way to die, but then we may end up eating it. And we're eating now kachim. And we're going to be getting benefit from kachim. And that's the Yisra of Me'ila. V'lishve gistera. So the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? Don't shecht it. Just cut it into two, and so that's a quick death. No one's going to eat it because now it's the nevela, and why don't we do that? So I'm Rabbi, I'm a krav, lo sasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. We are not allowed to treat kachim in this such a manner. If there's something of avodah zara, nitatzemes mizbechosam, you destroy the mizbeach of the avodah zara, you pulverize it. But lo sasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. Anything dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kachim, you're not allowed to do that. So for us to cut it into two, so you're not allowed to do that, it's a violation of that pasuk in the Torah. Rava Amar. Rava gives a different answer. So again, our question is, when I have an animal that I was makdish, I shouldn't have done it. But now that I was makdish the animal, how do I destroy it? So withhold food until it dies. Why not cut the legs? So Gemari has given so far one answer. It's not quick enough. Rava gives a different answer. Rava Amar Mimnesh Nerika Mato Mum Bekachim. It looks like you're putting a blemish in Kachim. The Gemara says, Nira Mum Alyahu. What do you mean it looks like you're putting a mum in Kachim? You are putting a mum. If you're cutting the leg, that's a blemish. That's a physical blemish. Gemara's answer, Hani Milim is Mansha Beza Mikdash Kaim to Chazala Krava. Yeah, you're right. When there's a Beza Mikdash, so then it's a blemish. But how should the Chazala Krava lay Salan Ba? But now there's no Beza Mikdash, so therefore, cutting its leg is not a, meaning it is a mum, it is a physical blemish, but being that we don't have a base of mikdash, that's why the language of nira kamata mum, it fits a little bit better. V'lavi kamata mum beba mum, the afagav de l'chazel akrava aser. So the Gemara says, well, you know, there's a discussion in Bechoros. Rashi over here cites the Gemara in Bechoros and Daf Lama Gimel. There's a discussion in Bechoros that if I have a blemished animal, am I allowed to put a blemish in a blemished animal? Now Rashi points out it happens to be a debate over there in the Gemara Bechoros, but according to one opinion, it's aser. Even if I have a blemished animal, I can't put a blemish in a blemished animal. So the Gemara says, if you subscribe to that viewpoint, so over here, look, it's kind of like a blemished animal. Now, the blemish is that there's no Beis HaMikdash and I can't offer it. So using the word blemish is a little bit of a stretch, and the Gemara is going to point that out in just a moment, but let's, for our purposes right now, let's call it a blemished animal. And if I cut off the leg, I'm putting a blemish in a blemished animal. And aser, and it's prohibited. So, and as Rashi points out over here, why are we using languages like nira kamata mum? It's like you're putting a blemish. No, you are putting a blemish. By cutting its leg, you are now blemishing, even though it's already blemished, but you are actually blemishing a blemished animal. So the Gemara says, ba mum nehid lo chaze le gufe le deme chaze. Gemara says, look, there's a really fundamental difference. If I had a blemished animal during this Zman Beis HaMikdash, so it's a balmum, it's a blemished animal. And obviously I can't offer it, but you know what I can do? I can redeem it and use the proceeds of that redemption to buy another carbon. Here, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, that's it. It's done. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash, it is a blemished animal where I can't do anything. Not with the animal itself, not even with the proceeds of the animal. Even if I were to redeem it, there's nothing I could do with that redemption money. So over here, it's different. That's why the language is nira. Okay, and we finish up. Ashkechei, Rabbi Yonah.
Maybe proverb more is you're supposed to throw it in the Yamamena. So even if you appointed the animal,
right.
So you have money. So
Right, exactly. In other words, right, you can't do anything with the animal nor with the proceeds. Exactly. So a meeting of Amoraim, Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Eli. Amalei Ketani Behemate Aker, Eved Mai. So the Gemara says, okay. So I bought an animal at a pagan festival. So we know what we're supposed to do with the animal. What if I bought an Eved? Now the question over here, once you digest the question, you realize it's a harsh question what the Gemara is asking. Meaning an Eved obviously is two things. It's property and it's also a human being. Right. So, and the Gemara is proposing for a moment that, well, you know, you shouldn't have done it, and, you know, there's a penalty, and the penalty for the animal is that you cut the legs of the animal. So, and what are you going to do with an Eved if you were to buy the Eved? Okay. So, I know. I'm aware of the fact that the question over here is harsh. So, Eved, you saw, lo, kami ba'ali, kami ba'ali, Eved, of Ovid, of So the Gemara says, well, if the slave that you're buying is a Jew, meaning that the Jew sold himself into slavery for to the Akum, and you're buying it back from the Akum. So even though you shouldn't have done it on the pagan festival, but you did, and I guess you can even make an argument that you're saving him, you're redeeming him. Meaning, there are other considerations over here, but in terms of the penalty, so clearly we're not going to maim another Jew. That's not even open for discussion.
Seller is ever happy to sell his land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're discussing a case where there's a surcharge and there's proceeds going to Avodah Zarah, like the Gemara said in the Amud Aleph. Okay, so ki kami bayle eved ovei kochavim mai amrle mai kami bayelach tanya ovei kochavim aroa behema dakel omalam v'lo moridin. So a line that we're going to be hearing a couple times through this Masechta is that when I have an ovei kochavim and roe behema daka and shepherds of small animals now. Right, this is going to come out as a little bit rough, but you'll hear this now, you'll hear it later, and eventually we'll become desensitized to it. And that's great. So that is that lo malim velo moridim. If they're at a pit, you don't have to pick them up from the pit. Okay, we're talking about idolaters, like bona fide, but you don't have to pick them up from the pit. But what you're also not allowed to do is lo moridim. You can't push them into the pit. Meaning we have no business doing anything actively hurting and injuring even an idolater. So the Gemara says, so over here, basically, the answer to the question is, you can't do that. In other words, you're not going to be maiming the Eved that you bought. You shouldn't have bought the Eved, even if it's an Eved Kanani. You shouldn't have bought it, but you're not going to maim it.
Why don't you just free it?
Right, right, right. I thought to say, I also was bothered by that. I was waiting for the Gemara to say it. It didn't say it. That's true, but as a... But right, but as part of the Kenaso, I hear the suggestion. Okay. Amale Rav Yirmila Rabbi Zera Katana Lochi Mehem Behema Avadim Shachos Eved of Yisrael Eved Yisrael Odilma Afilo Eved Ove Kochavim. Look, there are certain things which on the Amud Aleph of today's daf we allowed. And one of those things which we allowed was the purchasing of certain commodities. We allowed for the purchasing of animals, Avadim Shvachos, and also properties. But right now we're focusing on the Avadim. Eved Yisrael, Odilma Afilu Eved Ovei Kochavim. Now, really, what we're really asking over here is, why are we allowed to purchase these particular items from the Ovei Kochavim, even though it's a Yerid, even though it's a pagan festival, and even though generally it's not allowed, but these items you're allowed to buy. And remember, by the way, according to Rav Yochanan, and it's also only in a situation where there's no surcharge, meaning you're buying it from the Baal HaBayis. You're not buying it from the from an official licensed store, because then you're going to be funding Avodah Zarah. So okay, fine. So we're only talking about buying from the Baal HaBayis, but you are allowed to buy these items from the Baal HaBayis. Now why? Now the Gemara doesn't ask the question why. The Gemara is kind of getting to the point by asking. When we say you're allowed to buy a slave, are we talking about an Eved Yisrael or Eved Ovei Kochavim? I'm really Mistabed Eved Yisrael. So the first answer he gives is, I think we're talking about a Jewish slave. Why? The Eved Ovei Kochavim, Lamaimi Bayile. So the Gemara says, because if it's an Eved Ovei Kochavim, meaning, and what good is that? What would be the permit? what would be the allowance in which the Chachamim would allow you to do that? He also Ravin Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Afilo Eved Ove Kochavim. So, but then when Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, so he's saying over this Braisa, and he's clearly explaining the Braisa, even a Eved Kenani. Why? Because what do you mean, what benefit would it be? When you buy an Eved Kenani, what you're doing is that you are now making him a quasi-Jew. And Eved Kenani has certain status. Not enough status where he can marry a Jew, but chayiv and mitzvos in the Torah, same number of mitzvos that a woman would be chayiv in. Furthermore, a male Eved Kenani needs a bris milah. In other words, he is machnis tachas kanfei hashchina. So you're bringing him under the canopy. So I'm Ravashi atu behema my machnis tachas kanfei hashchina ika. So when Ravashi hears this, he's like, I don't understand that pshat at all. It's a really difficult pshat. Because think about the other things that were mentioned over here in that list of things you're allowed to buy from a balabais, even on a pagan festival. And that would, of course, also include an animal. Let me ask you a question, says Ravashi. Are you bringing the animal under kanfei hashchina? Are you introducing now a new religious life for that animal? Now, by the way, as an aside, I know he's not expecting an answer, so I'm not in a position to give an answer. But the animal now has shvisas behemta, meaning the animal now is shomer Shabbos. And okay, but I know that answer is unacceptable. Okay, fine. But ella mishum miutayu. So the Gemara's answer is like this. The Gemara's answer is that really the basis for this heter of buying things from a balabais, Even though it's a pagan festival, even though it's a Yerid, even though it's Yom Eid, buying these things from him is going to diminish his power. In other words, you're basically taking assets away from him. Rashi, mishum mi utinhu shememaida of the kochavim umidadolan. What you're doing is you are removing them. Shalokech behem tam shemeshtam shemehem. They have less animals they can use, and basically we are putting ourselves in a better position. That is the allowance to buy things like animals, avadim, property, meaning things that put them in a better position. And so when you buy from them, you're being memait. That is the allowance. So the truth of the matter is that now that we have this new svara, not being machnes takas kanfei hashchina, which by the way, it's still true, meaning that point is still true. But that's not the explanation in terms of why it's permitted. The reason why it's permitted is because it diminishes their power, puts us in a better position, and that's always better. In other words, to have us in a better political position. We finish up today's daf with a couple of episodes. Rabbi Yaakov, Zavin Sandala, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Zavin Pisa. Rabbi Yaakov purchased on the Yom Eid, Yom Eid, it was a Yerid, it was a pagan festival. So he purchased for himself sandalim, pair of sandals, and Rav Yirmiyah purchased for himself some bread. Now, the bread is really problematic because it's, right, it's paspalt, it's pasakum. Additional to that, it's also perishables. Even as we said the Rashi in the beginning of Shir today, Rashi said that you're allowed to buy but only durables, you're not allowed to buy perishables. Tosus is bothered by that. If you see the last Tosus on the Amud, Rav Yirmiyah Zavin Pisa, Vim Tamar Avalo Pasov De Kochavim Asur VeYishlamer Demari BeMakom Shein Palta Yisrael Kedarmin LaKamen BePerek Sheni. So Tosus says that look, you're not allowed to buy bread from a non-Jewish baker, but under certain circumstances you are. We're going to be discussing that later in the Masechta. And Achen BeYerushalmi Gabi Hayuv Deshnia He Mishum Chay Nefesh Mashma DeLetzarcho Kan O VeAchi Garsim BeYerushalmi. I'm sorry, I skipped a line of Tosus. I was wondering, another possibility, says Tosus, is that he bought it for his Eved or he bought it for his animal. However, Tosus points out that Yerushalmi doesn't agree with this. From the Yerushalmi, it sounds like he bought it for his own Tzarech. Tosus is bothered also by the other problem, which is it's not a durable, it's a perishable. And when you're buying perishables, that you're not allowed to do because, again, the seller's happy, in the sale of a perishable. So it's an interesting accounting move by Tosfos. So he says that yes, bread is physically a perishable, but on the accounting books, it's going to, right, since such high demand, we're going to treat it like a durable. Okay. Right. Okay. I hear. Tosis is bothered, so. But I hear your point. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. So, Rav Yaakov purchased on the Yerid, on the pagan festival, a pair of shoes, and Rav Yirmiyah brought some bread. Amar lecha lechavre. And so now the accusations are flying. And not only are the accusations flying, but with a little bit of name calling as well. Now, I know when the Gemara speaks, you know, when records these dialogues, sometimes to us and to our ears, you know, thankfully, we're a little more sensitive, so we're not used to this kind of banter, especially amongst Talmidei Chachamim, but in other words, but you're with us in the Gemara long enough, so you know that, especially when it comes to halacha, so they're not gentle with one another. Okay, did I soften it enough? Hopefully. Yasma, Avad Rab Chahachi. So one says to his friend, hey, you orphan. Did your Rebbe do that? And Amar Le Idach Yasma, Avad Rab Chahachi. To which the accusation goes in the other direction, pretty much the same. Hey, orphan. Did your Rebbe do that? Now, I know, right, it's really strange. Torah tells us very clearly that, especially when it comes to Yasom, you got to treat him with kid gloves. I mean, I know it's an intuitive point, but it's also a pasuk in the Torah. So, right, Yesomim and Almanas, right? You gotta treat them with extra sensitivity. Okay, so obviously, when the Gemara has this kind of dialogue, you gotta understand it in a certain context. These are Talmidei Chachamim talking to one another. It could be that this is their general banter with one another, and this is how they talk to one another. Anyway, v'tarvayu mi balabai zavin v'chol v'chad v'chad savr chavrei mitagar zavin. Now, the truth of the matter is that they both bought it from Balabatim. They did not buy it from a licensed merchant who was charging a surcharge. They assumed that the other was buying it from a licensed merchant. I know what's coming next. Aren't we supposed to be Dan Lekavschus? Like, shouldn't we be judging people favorably? And shouldn't they have judged each other favorably? Okay, I love the question. I don't have an answer. Let's move on. So the Amar Rabbi Abba Bereid Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Lo Shana Ola Bukech Menatagad Shakli Mechsa Minei. The prohibition is buying it from a merchant. But Abba Bukech Me Balabais. But if you're buying it from a Balabais, the Lo Shakli Minei Mechsa Mutter. Where he's not charging a surcharge, so therefore it would be Mutter. Amar Rabbi Abba Bereid Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Il Male Hayor Rabbi Yochanan Hazimna Baasur De Kashakli Mechsa Afil Me Balabais Hava Asur. You know, if Rav Yochanan would be alive nowadays, we do this sometimes also. You know, if that Gadol would have been alive nowadays, you know, he would have changed his tune. If Rav Yochanan would have been alive nowadays, he would have changed his tune. He would have prohibited even from the purchasing from a Baal Bais. Elo inu echa zavon mi Baal Bais she'ina kavua zavon. He says, but, I'm sorry, and why would that be? So Rashi over here explains, because even the Baal Batim nowadays, they charge a surcharge, and they forward that surcharge to the idolatry. Rashi writes, the Shakli Mikhsa, mi balabatim, hava asalika chafilu mi balabais, vahasha de ravir mi akimle de shakli mi balabatim. Okay, so, and even though that's true, finishing up the Gemara, ela inu hechizava mi balabais, she inu kavua zavon. So then how could these students, meaning we just were introduced to two students of Rav Yochanan, both Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah, they were students of Rav Yochanan. So how could they buy from a balabais? Gemara's answer is eino kavua. Rashi lo masik muchse adai tayo lemigbe minay de lo tagar v'la balabais kavua. Meaning, even as a balabais, this was a temporary sale. There was no collection over here. There's no surcharge towards the avodah zarah, and that's why these particular amoraim who were students of Rav Yochanan, they did so as well. Okay, just a quick summary. The Mishnah told us that decorated stores are prohibited, and non-decorated stores are permitted. And a basic machlokas, really fundamental machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in today's daf, in terms of the nature of Isser Hanan when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Rav Yochanan says that there's an Isser of Nene and Mehana, getting benefit and providing benefit for the Avodah Zarah, where Reish Lakish says, no, there's only an Isser Hanan, but not an Isser of Mehana. A question as to whether or not there's a machlokas Tanayim on the matter, Reish Lakish obviously feels that there is. Rav Yochanan feels there's no machlokas at the time. And then we went over today, basically a basic chiluk, in that when I'm buying from a balabayas, even on a yerid, as long as it's a balabayas who's not collecting a surcharge, and you are capped and limited to only things that are going to diminish their position and improve our position, things like an Eved Kenani and lands and behemoths, so things like that you're allowed to buy as long as it's from a balabayas, as long as it's not. There's no surcharge, and only these items which are going to diminish their position.